You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Welcome back to Ashburton. We're about ready to start now. And they're off. The National Dog off to a flying start there, bolting out ahead. And oh, what's this? Looks like several of the Labour Dogs have given up racing entirely, instead choosing to walk around in circles, occasionally biting each other. Surely that's counterproductive. Meanwhile, I don't believe this. The Act Dog, honestly one of the shittiest little dogs I've ever seen, has managed to pull himself to the front by biting onto the tail of the National Dog. He's literally being dragged to a podium finish. Here they come now, down the stretch. It's the National Dog way out in front, followed by the parasitic little scamp from Act and some old man wearing a bow tie. Following them is a bright-eyed hermaphrodite, brimming with hope, representing the Green Party and bringing up the rear. That's right, the New Zealand first dog, who will surely be disqualified for taking a bite out of a Chinese Shar Pei. What a bitch.
It's political commentary.
If you hadn't already heard, National Party Prime Minister John Key did announce earlier in the week that he is stepping down from his role as Prime Minister. And this morning we are speaking with Rod Oram, and we're going to be talking a little bit about that. Good morning, Rod.
Good morning, Hannah.
How are you this morning?
Very well, thank you.
That is good. So, you know, I know John Key, no longer going to be New Zealand's Prime Minister. What happens now?
The focus is entirely very short term around the caucus meeting for the National Party next Monday, where caucus members, which are all the MPs in Parliament, will vote for a new leader. I think there is also going to be, in very short order, the vote also then for a deputy leader. So that's the task before them.
It seems pretty weird that this has led to National deciding on the next Prime Minister. What are your thoughts and feelings about that?
Each party has different ways of electing its leaders, and which reflects very much the culture of the party and its history. So in contrast to, say, more complicated processes that also have input from party members outside the caucus, such as with Labour and the Greens. In National's case, it's just entirely a vote of those people who are MPs. And I guess the simple logic of that is those are the people who are going to, who are choosing their leader in Parliament. And seeing as those MPs have been elected by their constituents to be their representatives in Parliament, that's the simple logic. And that's why it's a very much more of a straightforward process than it is with the other parties.
I mean, looking at the MPs that are putting their name forward, what kind of reputation do they already have?
It's actually very straightforward and in a sense quite transparent. So Bill English has been in Parliament a long time, since as a really quite a young man. He's still only 54. Obviously a long track record and a very good one as finance minister, and then in previous governments in junior sort of finance roles. The main thing against him was his short tenure as party leader and the disastrous showing of National in that election 2003, when it has only scored 20.9% of the party vote, and he quit shortly thereafter. My own sense of it, having interviewed him one time on the election campaign trail, is that his heart really wasn't in sort of retail politics, being out there and about. What apparently he's saying now is that, well, that was back then, 13 years ago. My six children are now a great deal older. I think the youngest of them is an older teenager. Right. And therefore, I've got a chance to focus on more than just a finance role in the family. So he seems to be willing. And he's had a bit of time to think about this. Apparently, all the way back in September, he just privately, the two of them together, said, look, I'm thinking of quitting possibly before Christmas.
Right.
So he's had a chance to think about it. So he would be very much, in some respects, a continuation of current policies. But it would be interesting to see how that might broaden out. So he is very much committed to trying to improve the lot of people are having a really hard time in society, hence his whole pilot projects and around in social investment, coming around people like teenage single mothers with a great deal more help. So it might be interesting to see where he goes. Mm. The second person is Jonathan Coleman, a doctor by profession. He's not a great deal younger. He's 50, although he's saying that his great appeal is about regeneration. Yeah. And he's also interesting, and is sort of a younger, but he's only 4 years younger. He has surprisingly little public profile, even though he's health minister. And I think that he would be very much of an unknown quantity with the public. And I personally don't have any feel for how caucus members think about him. And then, of course, the third person is Judith Collins, who has a very high public profile.
Yes, definitely.
She is known and relishes and cultivates the image of being a hard case in all sorts of ways. There will be some public support for her, but I would be surprised if there's very much of any public support for her in caucus, because she would be such a wild card. Those are the three for the leadership. After that, there's two and possibly in due course a third candidate for deputy.
So what potential new challenges will the next elected National Prime Minister be facing?
It's going to be a really hard job, because Brand Key, I hate to use the phrase, but I think it's appropriate, has been so strong so clearly identified by the public and has a very good rapport with many people in the public. And any of these characters, the possible exception of Collins, would be nowhere near as comfortable in that role. And certainly Collins would have a much narrower appeal across the public than Key has had. So the first big challenge is the new leader has to establish their own identity and their own personality, and also to really persuade the public of quite a difficult thing, that on one hand there is stability and continuity. You know, this is a successful national government that is in the latter stages of its third term. It would do a job, re-elect us, because we can do a great job in the fourth term. Mm. But at the same time, trying to respond to issues which have been poorly addressed under Key with some new policy. So housing, infrastructure would be two examples of that. So there's an awful lot for a new leader to do in a short time, less than a year to the next election.
Yeah, it's a big challenge for sure. Where does Labour now stand with this big announcement?
There are various reports of Andrew Little as leader having a grin from ear to ear, because even if this transition to a new leader goes smoothly and there isn't great infighting within the National Party caucus, none of the candidates for leader are anywhere near as strong as Key and as effective as Key with the public. So therefore, this is a real opportunity for Andrew Little in Labour, but the other parties too, put a lot more pressure on National in Parliament. I think it would be harder for National in government to brush off the sort of criticisms that it has been able to do with Key being the front man during question time, and very effective, very facile, very articulate on issues, always has a reassuring line to offer voters. So I think that it significantly opens up the landscape politically and gives a chance for some more debate, some more push and pull. However, having said that, Labour is not a strong caucus in terms of depth of potential ministers. So I think it's got a real challenge to convince the public that it could be a government in waiting. The news yesterday that David Shearer is quitting politics to go back to a peacekeeping role at the United Nations, which he has a very strong background in before he came back to domestic politics, and an extremely demanding job in the South Sudan, is another example of that. Although he hasn't, I'm trying to remember, I don't think he's ever had any cabinet experience, but still a person who's been around a few years. Those are some of the fascinating new permutations that start to open up in all this.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.